Thanks for tuning into this week's podcast. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, you can check us out on the web at hillsideassembly.org. You're about to hear a message from our current sermon series, Opportunity Knocks. We hope you open your heart and your mind to hear a word from God today.
So Mark chapter 6, we're reading out of the UK NIV. So going a little British this morning. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they ask. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brothers of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay amazed at their people who were ill and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith." Lord, over the next few moments, Lord, would you help me to unpack this passage of Scripture? And Lord, there is so much here, so much meat on the bone, that Lord, would you help us get it in bite-sized pieces that we can apply to our life? In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, it is bookmarked by one word: amazed. Amazed. It starts off, these people are amazed with Jesus, what he's saying, what he's doing. They're hooked. It's a great thing. It's phenomenal. And by the end of six verses, Jesus is amazed at their lack of faith. And in between these two is perhaps the saddest passage of Scripture found in the Bible. A missed opportunity. And I do not want that for you today. I don't want you to miss what Jesus wants to do in your life. Let's make really clear here in this passage. Jesus went with his disciples to do ministry. He had in his mind great things he wanted to had. Relationships. People to be healed. Miracles to be had. Relationships restored. Maybe somebody dead raising from the grave, but unable to do it because of their lack of faith. A missed opportunity. Let's break down this passage of Scripture so that we can see maybe why this happened and how we can avoid it in our own life. In verse number one, it says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. So let's talk about that for a minute. Let's look at this. Where was Jesus' hometown? Nazareth. Good answer. I thought maybe we'd flub somebody up this morning, but that's right. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but raised in Nazareth. So what do we know about this town named Nazareth? It probably wouldn't even be classified as a town. It's more like a village. Nazareth was a farming community. There was approximately about 400 people that lived in Nazareth at the time that this scripture took place. So it's small. Everybody knew everybody. Just a small little village. It's one claim to fame today that we can say Nazareth has. Jesus lived there. That's it. Probably wouldn't even pick it up. It's a dot on the map, and your GPS probably wouldn't even pick it up. You drive through, if you blink, you missed it. There was probably a post office and a bar, probably not even a gas station. You've been to those towns. You blink, you missed it. You're gone. So we know that Nazareth wasn't this metropolis. It wasn't a big city. We also know some things about Jesus' ministry. Jesus was going back to Nazareth with his disciples. And look, they're not going back to move in with mom. It's not like ministry wasn't good. It's not like they were failing. They were super productive. Amazing things were happening in ministry for Jesus and the disciples. We can just look in the passage of scripture preceding this. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus calms a storm. That's pretty amazing. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. He heals a sick woman. And then to cap it all off, he raises a girl back from the dead. That's a pretty good resume for ministry. Somebody sends this to me, I'm bringing them in for a service. Yeah, stopped the storm, healed somebody, set somebody free from demon possession. Oh yeah, and raised somebody from the dead. And that was just last week. Moving back in with mom for a service. We might have you in. He's not moving back in with mom. He's coming back to his hometown because he wants to share the ministry that's taking place with the people he had such a special connection with. He didn't want them to miss the opportunity and to get on this relationship train with God and to have their lives impacted and changed forever, for generations. In Mark chapter 2, or it's chapter 6, verse 2, when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Let's just relate this to modern terms. What did this really look like? Jesus is home. He's hanging out with family. They probably had a meal. Sunday rolls around. And Jesus is given the opportunity to speak in church. The door is presented. An opportunity is there. The door opens up. And Jesus walks through on a Sunday morning. And people start responding. People's minds start to get blown. This isn't what I thought the synagogue was. This isn't what I thought church was. It's something different. It's something amazing. And if we stopped right here, it would be so beautiful. It would be so powerful when he comes home. One of the greatest chapters in Jesus' ministry, when he comes home to his hometown, and amazing things happen in people's lives. It could have been phenomenal. But we know that's not what happens. And unfortunately, the scriptures go on. Where did the man get these things, they ask? What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Wait, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. They took offense at him. That's a strong meaning when you go and look at the root of what they're saying there. When they took offense, they were despised. They resented Jesus. And they became offended. You know what happens when you get offended? You build fences. You build fences. I'm mad at them. They're doing things that I don't like. Watch live building fences. I guarantee you, after 24 hours, you'll start thinking about building fences. We're really not even thinking about it. We just do it. We get mad and upset, and I want to tell you, the calling of the church is not to build fences, it's to build bridges so that people can find Jesus. And I don't know what happened, but somehow the devil is just a huge liar, and he has tricked us into thinking that when we are offended by people because they don't share our values, they don't dress like me, they don't act like me, their behavior is different than mine. Why are we surprised by that? If they don't know Jesus, how can their behavior be of one that is following Christ? You've got to know him first before you can follow him. And that's the call on the church, is to build bridges to people, no matter what you look like, no matter the color of your skin, no matter what culture you come from, no matter your past. To build a bridge to Jesus where he can meet you right where you're at. I love being part of a church where it doesn't matter what you wear. You don't have to put the Sunday bonnet on to come to church. Come as you are. Because it's not about what's external. It's about what church. And that is what Jesus is after. And that's got to be the heartbeat of our church. Connect to people's heart. Connect with Christ's heart. And bring the two together for a dynamic meeting. So what happens to start building this fence with the people of Nazareth and Jesus? How did this get derailed so quickly from such an amazing opportunity to a missed opportunity? Well, let's walk this out. I think here's the first thing. It's hard to see a miracle in the familiar. It's hard to see a miracle in the familiar. They said, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Judas, Simon? Aren't his sisters right here with us? They were amazed at his preaching until they realized this is one of us. Someone we grew up with. Someone that we knew very closely. The carpenter, the guy who showed up at your house and installed that new kitchen table you needed. They had lived with Jesus for 30 years. And all of a sudden, they couldn't see the preaching. They couldn't see the miracles. They just saw what was familiar. And there's something about one of us, and he's from Nazareth. And there's something about those people from Nazareth. You might remember in John chapter 1, where Jesus is gathering his ministry team, where he's pulling them together, his squad, his group, his guys. And he's starting to put the disciples together, and he recruits Philip, and Philip gets so excited about who this Jesus is, and we're going to follow him. It's going to be great. He's the Messiah. This is awesome. And he runs and tells Nathanael, I found the Messiah, and it's Jesus from Nazareth. And Nathanael replies, can anything good come from Nazareth? And we don't think much about it, but I think there is a huge clue in what Nathanael said. The people of Nazareth, there was something about them. There was a way in people's mind that they thought about people that were from Nazareth. They're from the other side of the track. They're hillbillies. They must be banjo players on the bayou. You know, I don't know what they thought necessarily, but it wasn't good. And you know what begins to happen? When you're told something over and over and over again, you start as being offended at it. And I have to wonder if maybe this didn't start as being offended at Jesus. They were offended because people had talked down to them for so long about who they were and where they were from. And you know what begins to happen? You begin to believe what's being said about you. It's an interesting thing, our relationship with God, because we see Jesus and God through a lens of how we see ourselves and perceive ourselves. And if you see yourself as not being worth anything and not having value, that you're broken beyond repair, and you can't see the value in yourself, it's very hard to be able to connect to a God who saw so much value in you that he died for you. I think that's where the disconnect begins to happen. These people bought into what was said about them, and they couldn't get over themselves. They couldn't get to what Jesus wanted to do because of the fence that was built by people and how they treated them. I'm going to talk more about that next week. By the way, invite somebody to church next week. Be in a place where you feel like you have somebody to come with you. Because I'm going to share what happens when you're in a place where you feel like you have no value, when you have gone through the ringer, when you feel like there's no hope, when you are stuck in shame, and how you break free from it. So invite somebody to come to church with you. You've got value this morning. I want to share that with you. You've got value. Jesus died for you, and he would have died for you if you were the only person on the face of the earth, he would have paid the price. Jesus was familiar to these people in Nazareth, and sometimes it's hard to see the miracle in the mundane. When you're around something so long, every day, it becomes familiar to you. And so what begins to happen is you can take it for granted. And there's a huge danger in that. What do you take for granted this morning? Is it your spouse, your kids, your house, your job? I'm not saying that any of these things might be perfect, but don't take for granted what you have. Realize that it's special and enjoy it. God's blessed you with it. And things will change. Maybe you feel like, Pastor, but you've not seen my house. The walls are caving in and the ceiling's coming down. But at least there's, but enjoy what you got while. And there might be a better house for you in the future. But enjoy what you got while you got it. Because you don't know when it's going to be gone. You don't know when there's going to be a fire. And you lose that house. Is Luis here today? Year ago, almost to the day, Robin and I, we came and visited you in Milwaukee in the burn unit in the hospital. I'll never forget it. I remember walking in and seeing you just laying there, bandaged up, burns all over your body, unable to really move. We played some worship music. We just all cried together. And I remember watching God heal you over the next month and you coming back home. And I can tell you one thing, Luis didn't take anything for granted. I've never seen somebody so grateful in all my life. You don't know what today has. And I hope it's good and I hope it's great. But life is tough and it's hard sometimes. So enjoy every moment that you have. Enjoy the time with grandkids. Enjoy the time with kids. I got a daughter in junior high. She'll be in high school before I know it. And then I thought about that on vacation. Oh, and that time's gone. I thought about that on vacation. Sometimes we get so wrapped up with job and so wrapped up with work and so wrapped up with the next thing, we miss the very big blessings and opportunities right in front of us. Enjoy the relationships you have. Build relationships with the people in this room. Don't take them for granted. And don't take for granted this church. Because what God is doing here is not the norm. And I know it's really easy with Christian television to turn on and look at a church that's a mega church, you know, and there's nothing wrong with mega church, by the way. I think some of them are phenomenal. I think there's some great churches out there. And you see what they're doing, and it's like, yeah, we gave $10 million to missions. And you're like, oh, man, we gave $10,000 to missions. It's not about how much. It's about the heart. And I got to tell you, God's doing something great here. And he's doing something new and ripping and something new in this church. And we're moving away from preference to the purpose of God. And there is something powerful about that when it's not about what I want. It's about what God wants to do. And when we tie into that, when we community, vision and mission, we grab a hold of the heart that God has for this community, there's something special that happens. And I'm excited about the lives that are being changed and transformed. And I hope you are too. Don't take it for granted. Because when you start taking things for granted, it's only a small step away to being resentful. And over 20 years of ministry, I've watched people resent their home church. And it all came from the fact that they just took it for granted. I don't want that to be the legacy that's here. They said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary's son? This is an incredibly interesting passage, and it's written specifically for this. You probably wouldn't even realize it. You read over it, and you just move on. But in the day of Jesus, you do not refer to somebody by, isn't this the son of the mother? You refer to them by the name of the father? Isn't this Joseph's son? But they don't do that. Some people would say, well, that's because Joseph was dead. Doesn't matter. You'd still refer to him that way. So there's some interesting things to take away here. There's only really, they rather at this point had gotten, well, two things. One, it's rather a slight and a dig. They rather at this point had gotten so offended that they're just being mean. Or two, the only time that you would refer to somebody by their mother's name is if you didn't know who the father was. And I think there's two folds to here. I don't think the people of Nazareth knew who Jesus' father really was. I don't think they knew God. I don't think they had a clue. They could not see the miracle in their midst because they were familiar. But you have to remember, 30 years earlier than this, Nazareth is a small town. And all of a sudden, Mary is pregnant. And word got around. Mary's pregnant, and she ain't married. The gossip spread. And sure, Mary, you told us it was God that put that baby in your belly. But really? Really? Could you imagine the gossip that took place in this town? So I wonder if people's minds, when they looked at Jesus, they saw where Jesus in the flesh possibly came from. That here he is, a child without a father, born out of sin. So how possibly could God use him to bring healing and miracles and salvation? Isn't that the power of, and don't we have that same mentality sometimes? But isn't that the power of the gospel? That it beats shame back with grace and the power of God shines through. How can it be that the woman of the well, who's looking for love in all the wrong places and sleeping apparently with the majority of the town, becomes the first evangelist in history and wins an entire community to Christ because of grace and the gospel? How is it that Rahab, a prostitute in a city that's supposed to be wiped off the map, finds the grace and the power of God in a window, which we're going to talk about next week? And all of a sudden, she becomes part of the lineage of Jesus, the great, 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 and I'm sure there's some more in there, grandmother of Jesus. Because that's the power of the gospel. Your past isn't limited, or your past does not limit your future when you connect with Jesus. Point two, by the way, that's the longest point I've ever had in any message ever, and this is the last one, so this is great. So we won't be here until midnight tonight. Point number two, Jesus was rejected by those closest to him. The people that we're talking about here weren't people far off. They were your four. They asked. The people he grew up with, he built furniture for. They had been in his house and he had been in theirs. They played kick the can and chase the stick as kids because they didn't have Nintendo back then. So, I mean, he grew up with these people. They knew each other. At festival time, they'd eat together. They'd hang out. You needed a new building built? Everybody came together and built the building. They knew him, and he knew them. They did life together. We know that Jesus was accepted by sinners and rejected by a lot of the religious. And I want to tell you, that's a warning to us this morning. That you can be so close to Jesus, just feet away, and still reject him. You can still reject him. We can speak it. We can come to church and put on the mask. And we can put on a show for everybody. We can raise our hands. We can sing the hymns. We can shout the choruses. We can pray the house down. And we can read our devotional every single day and still reject him. Because that's what these people were doing. Let's call it for what it is. Don't mistake God's grace in your life for acceptance or favor of your behavior. Just because God hasn't come down and struck you dead doesn't mean that he's in line with what you're doing or what you're thinking. Let's call it for what it is. It's called sin. Sin is sin, period. Sin is sin, and there is not a person in this place who does not deal with it on a daily basis. We're all in the same boat. We're all stuck in sin, and the only thing that changes it is Jesus. So that gives us two ways to deal with it. We rather fight against sin and we start dealing with it in our life as Jesus helps us, as the Holy Spirit comes into our life, as we apply God's word to try to help us move forward, to change our behavior by changing our heart and our mind. We have to have Jesus to do that. You can't break free from it without it. And the minute that you've got one beat down in your life, one sin, there's something else that will pop up. Come on. Some of us were sinning on the way to church this morning. Did you see we're listening to? But maybe by how you were driving. Did you speed? There's a law. Just saying. I see people poking their spouses. Do not use this against me. I'm going to get all sorts of nasty letters this week. Did you ream out your spouse for something this morning or your kids? Did you show them Jesus? Did you show them grace or did you show them frustration? All of us deal with sin. So we rather deal with it, or the other thing is we hide it. We camouflage it. We'll dress it up. We'll put the church bonnet, bring it to church, wear it with us, and we'll pretend like it doesn't exist. It's all good. Nobody knows. And we will justify our sin. Well, do you know what they said to me? Well, do you know how it's not working out? Do you know what's going on in my family? Do you know what's going on in my job? Do you know what's going on in my marriage? We got to deal with it. I'm not here to shame anybody because we're all in the same boat. But I want to tell you, if you don't deal with your sin, eventually Jesus will. Because he loves you enough to confront you. And I will tell you, if it comes to that, it will not be pretty. And it's in private. If you refuse to deal with your sin in private, Jesus often will deal with your sin publicly. Because you may not realize it, but your sin is impacting other people's lives. You could be ruining somebody else's life because of the sin that you're stuck in and your refusal to deal with it, to fight it, to connect with God and meet it face to face. This morning in this place, I know there are people with broken lives, broken marriages. I know this morning there are people you're having an emotional affair on your spouse. God knows it. There are people this morning, God knows that you're actually having an affair on your spouse. He knows about what you've been looking at on the computer when no one else is around and what you've been hiding. And he longs to help you be set free. He longs to restore your marriage and your relationships. It's time to deal with your sin. And the only way we can do that is to walk over the bridge. Otherwise, we're going to miss what God has for us. We've got to deal with our sin. Otherwise, we're going to miss the opportunity God has before us and before our family. So close, but so far away. Let me read the end of this passage. Robin, if you'd come back to the piano. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there." He couldn't do what he wanted to do because people wouldn't walk through the door of faith. Five years from now, 10 years from now, What is the legacy you will have in your family? What's the legacy this church will have in this community? I don't want to get to heaven someday and have Jesus say, it could have been this, but I couldn't move because faith wasn't present in your life. I couldn't move because you took it for granted. I couldn't move because you wouldn't deal with the sin. I couldn't move because you played church instead of church. I don't want that. I don't want Jesus to go, well, all I could do was a couple healings. All I could do was a couple small things. But I long to do more. I long to restore marriages. I long to build relationships between grandparents and their grandchildren, to restore relationships that were lost. I long to do things in the workplaces of the people of Hillside Assembly. I long to do things in the streets and in the back alleys of our community. I long to go into the high school and to set a revival in the young people in your community. But I couldn't find people who would just step through the door and be real with me. I know that's what Jesus wants to do. I'll bet the farm on it. I'll bet my career on it. But who here would step up and say, I'll walk through the door of faith and deal with the things Jesus is asking me to deal with. I'll honor the things God is asking me to honor. I'll walk through the hard things in life. Luz, Luis, would you guys come really quick? This wasn't planned this morning. I'm going to ask you guys if you'll move this door down here to the middle of the area between these chairs, just this way. Jesus didn't talk about the cross. He went through the crucifixion. This is total. I've never done anything like this before. Yep, open it up. I'm going to pray, and this is how we're going to close service. In fact, as I'm praying, if you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you and calling you, maybe calling you to a relationship with Him for the first time, maybe dealing with some type of sin issue in your life, maybe you've been taking things for granted and God's been dealing with you with that. Maybe it's just you need to step up and have faith that God's going to do something in your life and in this church. Then as I pray, would you step forward and would you walk through the door as a symbol to God saying, I'm walking through the opportunity you have for me, God, and whatever it is, I'm ready to receive it and I'm ready to be obedient to it. As Robin plays and I pray, if you feel God pulling you, would you respond to God in that way? And you can come up and pray at the altar. You can go back and sit in the pew, or you can leave. But if you're willing to say to God this morning, I'll do whatever it takes to not miss an opportunity with you. That good morning. Lord, we pray as a people that God, we need to know you are here with us, that you walk with us, that, Lord, we sometimes have eaten dinner with you and we've sometimes showed up and praised and worshiped and read our Bibles and had a devotional life, but, Lord, we've rejected your power and your authority in our life. We've camouflaged our sin. We've justified it for some other reason and we've not dealt with the sin in our life. But this morning, God, we surrender to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We walk through the open door of opportunity that you have for us here in this place, in this moment in time, that Hillside Assembly and the people of Hillside Assembly are going to experience everything Jesus has for us. We refuse to miss an opportunity. The people in Nazareth were feet away from their miracle. They were in reaching distance. They could have taken their hand out and touched you. But instead, they built a fence out of offense. God, break down our fences this morning. Break down the fences that are keep experiencing the power of God in our life.